together. The Lord bless you. Together. Praise the Lord. Lord, our God, reign in the awesomeness of your power over every situation, over every circumstance, over all that lives and exists in this realm and in every realm. Sovereign Lord, reign and put all things in order. Thank you, Father, that it is so done. Our bodies are in order, our homes in order, our finances in order, relationships in order, all is in order because you, the God of restoration, you have put all things right in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this second week of our special meetings. The first week was different. This is a different week, and where we are live, in person, in-house. I thank God for every one of you that have taken time to come. I know it's not an easy thing to do at this time of the year, when we've just come through so many holidays and all the busyness and whatever else, that we're able to come during this time, day in, day out, is definitely a sacrifice. And I believe that it is noted by the Lord that we give into Him the first fruit of our year. And the law of first fruits says very clearly that when you give the first fruit, the rest is blessed. So as we give God our first fruit of 2023, giving Him this time, all of our times are blessed. The rest of the year is blessed. If you believe that and you receive it, say amen. 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 Well, our year actually does start in September during Rosh Hashanah. That's when the Lord speaks to us about what the new year is going to be. We are just starting this particular aspect of the new year with the rest of the world. But the word of the Lord to us was the word of restoration. Somebody say restoration. It's very definite. God said, it's a year for restoration. And that's what I'm looking to receive and experience. Restoration in every area. The word of God says, my people, in Joel chapter 2, my people shall never be ashamed because they receive restoration. Amen? Tonight, being the first night of this week, this particular segment is going to go on all through from this Sunday till Saturday. And starting next Sunday will be a time of silence. Just focus on hearing God speak to us. Nobody's going to be preaching. We're just going to come. We're going to sit down. We're going to listen. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's an important thing to listen. The Word of God keeps on saying, hearken. Pay attention. Praise God. When we pay attention, we miss nothing. Praise God. Now, tonight, I want to explore some things about restoration that we have to keep close to heart. And as we are going through it, as the Spirit of the Lord leads, I might lead us in prayer, and I might possibly invite Mama to come lead in prayer, or ask somebody else to lead in prayer. This is not going to be just preaching. In the book of Genesis chapter 20, Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7, the word restoration is first used. And the Bible says in 20 and verse 7, Genesis, it says, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely," what? "Die, thou and all that are thine." So the first declaration of restoration was to restore the family, restore a wife to a husband. Now, the reason this needed to happen was not the fault of Abimelech, it was the fault of Abraham. Abraham brought this on himself by denying the fact that the wife was really the wife. He says, "I'm afraid they're going to kill me, so when we get there, please just tell them you're my sister." And so they did that, and the wife was quickly taken away from him because of the sister. But God intervened. Somebody say, "God intervened." Because certainly it was not the intervention of Abraham. Abraham didn't change his mind and say, "You know what? I think I made a mistake. I need my wife back. I'm going to go tell them that's my wife. Give me my wife back." No. God intervened. Someone said God intervened. And I believe that this first stage is going to be an intervention of God. Praise the Lord. An intervention of God. Not my boldness, not my change of mind, but God intervening to correct my mistakes, to correct your mistakes. And he says to Abimelech, "Return that woman. And if you don't, you're dead." I like that. I don't know if anybody else likes that, but I like that. I like the fact that God says, if you don't restore back to him his family, you're dead meat. Praise the Lord. And whatever, whoever has what belongs to me must return it now, because God has intervened and God has spoken. The Bible says God came to Abimelech and told him in a dream, "This is what you're going to do, man. You're a dead man," he says. The man is sleeping, enjoying himself. And God says, "You are a dead man. For the woman that you've taken belongs to another man. And that man happens to be my prophet. You have touched my anointed. I know it's not your fault, but you're a dead man. And this is what you're going to have to do to escape my judgment. Rise with me." Repeat these words after me. "Father, speak on my behalf and reverse every misfortune that I've put in place because of my fears, because of my unbeliefs, because of the confusion around me. I repent before you. And I ask, Father, intervene, 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 and bring about restoration for my family." Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, "I receive family restoration in Jesus' mighty name." The word of God says you may be seated. The word of God says that God said to Abimelech, if you don't do what I just told you now, you're done. You're finished. Just like I said, you're a dead man. I will fulfill it. But if you change, you get to live. I will repent of the judgment that I've assigned towards you. And I believe that God will do the same in our particular case. In Jesus' mighty name. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 13, we read the story of how Joseph was in prison. While he was there in prison, a butler and a baker had dreams. And they told the dreams to Joseph, and Joseph interpreted those dreams. And he says in verse 13, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former when thou was his butler. This is the second time that that word is used, and it has to do with the restoration of status or position. Praise the Lord. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the God who restored this butler will be the God who restores you and I to our proper positions and status in life. Do you receive that? This is what this man dreamt. He was expecting to die. In fact, he had dreamt a dream. A baker had dreamt, the baker of Pharaoh had dreamt the same night. Now, we don't know if the baker made up his own dream, because the Bible tells us that we can make up our own dreams. We learned that this week. Yes, that some dreams are made up dreams. You dream what you want to dream. We don't know if that was what happened with this man. But what we do know is that there was an intervention, and that intervention was to restore this man to his rightful position. Why? Because, are you ready for this? God wanted to restore Joseph. Praise the Lord. Now, the dream that was interpreted correctly. The butler, on that third day, after he dreamt his dream, was restored to his position. And Joseph said to him, when he was heading out, don't forget me. Don't forget me when you get out there. Please put out a good word for me. And the Bible tells us that the butler went, left, and forgot about Joseph. Someone say, thank God he forgot about Joseph. Say it again, thank God he forgot about Joseph. One more time, say, thank God he forgot. Say, God was in it. Yeah, because if he had remembered, and Pharaoh says, you know what? That guy was put in prison for the wrong reasons. Set him free. What do you think young Joseph would have done first? Gone back home. He would have said, Egypt has not been good for me. I got to Egypt and I thought things were going better, and they ended up throwing me in prison. I was accused I can't stay here. Let me go back home. At least I know my father loves me. And that would have been the end of the story. But because he forgot for a reason. The reason being that God was going to give to Pharaoh a dream. And God was going to use young Joseph to interpret that dream. And the process of interpreting that dream, his status was going to change from the prison to the palace, from being a prisoner to being a prime minister. A change of status. Somebody say, change of status. This is what God desires for every one of us, so that we can take our rightful place in Jesus' mighty name. Rise with me. Declare with me, Father, I declare that there is, even now, a change of status for me. I have upward mobility in the name of Jesus. Dimensional change, status change. My position is secure in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Third time, Genesis chapter 42 and verse 25. Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt to get food. Joseph was hiding himself from his brothers, even though he was present, and they got the food that they wanted. But Joseph instructed that their sacks be filled with corn, and that the money that they were supposed to have spent be put back. So in essence, they got whatever it is they were getting for free. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. He says in verse 25, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. Wow. And thus did he unto them. He gave them what they came for. He gave them what they needed to get back home, and he put their money back. Wow. What is this? This is the beginning of the restoration of the relationship that he is going to have with his brothers that betrayed him. But it was also a restoration of finance. Someone say restoration of finances. This is found in the word of the Lord as it relates to restoration. Rise with me one more time. Declare with me, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare restoration of my finances. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that my little becomes much. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare restoration of relationships by the authority of your word. I live my life buying without money. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. You're getting good exercise in this Catholic church today. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. The Bible says, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, He shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, and 4 sheep for a sheep. Somebody say restoration of property. Restoration of what belongs to me. The Bible says if somebody steals your ox or your sheep, they kill it, they sell it, it says they have to restore. For the one ox, 5 ox. One ox, 5 oxen. One sheep, 4 sheep. It's restoration of property. In other words, God says, you're not going to get restored back to you exactly what was taken from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the word of God says, if a man steals something because he's hungry, he can get away with it. But if he's caught, he has to pay back 7-fold. The Bible tells us that there is a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Do we know who that is? Who is that? The devil. So since we've been able to identify that it's the devil, guess what he has to do? He has to pay back and restore back to me whatever it is that he stole. Somebody stole something from here? It has to be restored. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the law. The law of restoration. Even Zacchaeus understood that. He said, I'll pay back whatever it is I took from people unlawfully, and I'll restore it back 4 times. Somebody listening. My stuff must be restored. Praise God. If he killed it or he sold it, that means it's no longer in his hands. Did you hear that? If he killed it, it's gone. If he sold it, it's gone. So I'm not going to get my old stuff back. I'm going to get newer stuff back. New model. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a clutch and shift. Praise the Lord. Fully automated. Mom and I were driving somewhere today and we saw an old Volvo, one red old Volvo. I said, look at that car. I said, Volvo? It was so ugly. Well, if that was my Volvo and somebody stole it, I don't want that back. I want the new stuff back. Praise the Lord. Someone say, restoration of property. New model. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Rise with me, let's declare it. Father, I declare, according to your word, from Exodus 22:1, that there be total restoration of my property in the mighty name of Jesus. Restoration. For I identify the thief, the robber who came to steal, kill, and destroy. I declare today, Father, that from the law courts of heaven, that there be an enforcement of this spiritual law, restoration of property in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. In Numbers chapter 35 and verse 25, Numbers 35 and 25, the Bible says, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. You say, what is this about? This is about the cities of refuge. When a person killed somebody, whether it was deliberate or not deliberate, but primarily not deliberately, his life was to be taken. They had the law, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you kill somebody, you got to be killed. Now, what happened was the one who slew, if he takes off and is able to escape and come to a city of refuge, he was to be protected. Even though he was guilty, he was to be protected in that city of refuge. In essence, he received security and protection while the high priest, which was anointed with oil, was alive. Aren't you glad that we have a high priest who will always live forever? Praise the Lord. This was God's way of extending mercy, even to the guilty. You did wrong. But if you find yourself in the city of refuge, you'll be okay. You'll be protected. Rise with me one more time. Bible says, yes, he shall be restored. They shall restore him to the city of his refuge. Declare with me, Father, by the authority of your word, I come into the city of refuge. And in this city of refuge, the avenger will not touch me. No revenge will come upon my life, for I am protected from every harm and all evil. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Restoration of protection. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, in verse 7, we told the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. Saul is dead. Jonathan, the friend of David, is dead. And one day, David says, is there anyone from the house of Saul still alive that I may show to that one the mercies of God? And it was told him that yes, there was a son, and that son's name was Jonathan, or rather Mephibosheth. So David sends for Mephibosheth to come to him. Mephibosheth comes to him, and the Bible says, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul. Notice, it was all the land of Saul, not all the land of Jonathan. Jonathan is a prince. He had his own property. But Saul, the father who is a king, has more. Are you with me? God does not restore back the less. He restores back more. Praise the Lord. I want you to hear these things because it is imperative that having heard it, that your faith engages, not just for same old, that you are seeing well beyond whatever it is that you used to have, whether it was known to you or unknown to you. Because there are times when there are things that belong to you that you have no idea about. The Bible tells us about Esther. Esther found favor, and all that pertained to her and her maids were dispensed to her immediately. Others didn't get it, but she got it. Stuff that she knew about and stuff that she didn't know about, everything came pouring in her direction. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that what property your fathers and your great-grandfather and whoever had that you knew nothing about, that the God of inheritance will bring an inheritance your way, and that you will prosper and flourish because of the favor of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody hearing? This is restoration of inheritance. I'm going to restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth was a young man that had been dropped and was lame, both his feet, and was living in a place called Lodiba, a pastureless land. And here he's invited to receive everything his grandfather had. But more than that, he now is invited to eat bread at David's table with the rest of the princes. So if you were to come to the palace and you saw Mephibosheth, though he was lame in his feet because he was at the table, you could not differentiate him from anybody else. He was blessed and highly favored. His inheritance was restored. And the grace of status that he would have had was restored to him. Is somebody listening? Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us about Joachim and how even Merodach, after 37 years, this man, Joachim, was in prison for 37 years, locked up. Other princes were released and he was still locked up. But when even Merodach became king, even Merodach is a son of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says that same year, he lifted up the head of this king, put him in the highest throne, higher than everybody else that was before him, and caused him to eat at his table, changed his clothes from his prison garbs, put royal garbs on him, brought him to his table, and Joachim ate daily at the king's table. But watch this. He still had provisions. Why? So that you are not just blessed, but you have the ability to distribute. God is not just interested in you being blessed. He wants you to be a blessing. Hallelujah. He had daily rations, not so that he can bring it to the table to eat. No, the king's chef was cooking for him. And he had daily compensation. Every day, he was being paid, honored. The king that lost his throne was restored to a high level of living. His inheritance was restored. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rise with me one more time. We'll rise many more times, but just rise with me. I want us to declare from a standing position. Say with me, Father, I thank you for the restoration of my inheritance. Everything that belongs to me, everything that belongs to my fathers, Lord, oh God, let it be restored to me now. I receive total provision in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. How is this going to happen? Last week we talked about the word of the Lord found in the book of Job, chapter 20. Job chapter 20. In Job chapter 20, the word of God talks about what will happen to wicked men who have usurped and abused people. The Lord says, I'm going to engage them. They're going to be working and working and working and working. And all the work they're doing, they're not going to enjoy any of it, because they're going to work all that work to turn it over. Praise the Lord. They're going to do all that work to do what? Turn it over. Let's take it from Job 20. I'll take it off from verse 12. It says, though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asp within him. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. Talking about the wicked. He shall suck the poison of asp. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey. And butter. This is the life of opulence. He says, you're not going to enjoy that. This life of abundance. You wicked, you're not going to enjoy that. He says, that which he labored for, shall he restore. He labored for it, he's going to restore it. And shall not swallow it down. According to his substance, shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. What is the word of God saying? It's saying the wicked, whatever it is that he has enjoyed, he's going to work hard to replace it, but he's not going to enjoy what he's replacing because it is for another. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. I'm not making this up. This is the word of God. He says, because he had oppressed and had forsaken the poor. Because he had violently taken away an house which he built not. Surely he shall not feel quietness. Wow. He shall not feel what? Quietness in his belly. Because there are ants, asps, just going crazy inside him. He's disturbed. No quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. He desired it, but he cannot save it. Why? He has to pass it on. Praise God. Nobody is going to get away with what belongs to you because they oppressed you. You know, there are some people who have robbed people, abused people, and they think they got away with it. Now their children are all messed up. They can't enjoy it. They gathered so much wealth, and what happened with the wealth? All scattered and into the hands of somebody else. Because wickedness does not pay. He says, there shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. It's all gone. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits, in a tight spot. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. What's that all about? It means that the wicked are going to turn against each other. Praise the Lord. Why? They must restore back to you, to me, what belongs to us. Amen? Hallelujah. How God brings that to pass? It's not for me to worry about. It is the concern of God. It says in verse 23, when he's about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he's eating. In other words, there is not going to be rest for this dude who's practiced wickedness. I'm going to harass you just like you harass my kids. I'm going to whip you like you're a slave to work so hard, and when you finish working, you will turn it over to them. Listen, listen, listen. There are going to be people that are going to come and hand things over to you and say, God will not let me rest. Just like God dealt with Abimelech. He says, return his wife. Now, or you're dead meat. There are people, millionaires, billionaires, that are going to seek you out. If not you, they're going to seek me out. Praise the Lord. They're going to be looking for me. Hallelujah. And doesn't matter where I am, they will find me and return to me great wealth. Praise God. More than I need so that I become a distributor. Praise Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you receiving this? The Word of God tells us in Psalm 51, and verse 12 about the restoration of the joy of our salvation. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Praise the Lord. What is this free spirit? It's the free spirit of God that gives us the capacity to love. So many of us have come to know the Lord, and at some point in our relationship with the Lord, we lost track of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength. David cries out, cries out to God, and he says, "God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." When did he cry out? It was when he had messed up royally. He'd messed up, he'd sinned. Sin caused him to lose everything. Sin got him to commit adultery. Sin got him to murder an innocent man called Uriah. He was hiding and God exposed it. Sent a prophet to him. This prophet tells him the story of a man who had so much flock, so many sheep and oxen and everything. Had somebody coming to visit, and instead of taking something from his field, he goes and he kills the only lamb that his neighbor had. And David is wound up and angry and says, "Who is that guy? I'm going to deal with that guy right now. Who is that?" And Nathan says, "Thou art the man. You have all these wives and concubines and whatever it is. And one man had just one wife. And you go and you take that wife and you kill them. You're the one we're talking about. It's not somebody else. So if somebody you want to kill, kill yourself, I guess." Isn't it interesting how we know how to be so self-righteous about other people's stuff while we're doing the same thing? He lost the joy of salvation. And he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." He says, "Then will I be able to teach others your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Forgive me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me," he cries out. The restoration of my faith, restoration of my joy, restoration of my relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Say with me, "Father, restore in your loving kindness and your tender mercies the joy of my salvation. Forgive me every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make it possible for me to teach transgressors your ways and to see sinners converted unto thee. Thank you, Lord, that you're turning the tables on every wicked person and causing them to bring to me wealth and riches. Because, Lord, you've assigned those things to me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let me begin to wrap. In Isaiah 42, book of Isaiah chapter 42, and verse 22. He says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. I want you to notice that those statements. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Interesting. It says, these are people robbed and spoiled. Now, that statement, a people robbed and spoiled, goes back to that last statement, and none saith, restore. They are spoiled because nobody's speaking restoration. They are snared in holes because nobody's speaking restoration. They are hid in prison houses because nobody's saying restoration. They are a prey because nobody's saying restoration. Non-believers because nobody is saying restoration. They are set up for a spoil because nobody is saying what? Restore. So what is it that God is calling us to say every day? Restore. Restore. In every area of my life that I need restoration, Father, I declare restoration. That restoration will not only keep me from being robbed, but if I am robbed, it brings about deliverance. In essence, God is saying, if you don't say restoration, there will be no restoration. You will stay exactly where you are. Somebody listening? Nobody's saying restoration, and that's why things are the way they are. Glory and peace. We need to declare what? Restoration. Restore, restore, restore. Rise with me. What did the Word of God say we need to say? Okay, let's say it at least 7 times. Restore, 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 restore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Restoration of family, restoration of status, restoration of finances, relationships, restoration of property, restoration of protection, restoration of inheritance, restoration of our joy. Hallelujah. Restoration of our healing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me close up today. We'll continue with the subject in fuller details tomorrow. In Matthew 17 and verse 11, the Lord tells us that this is something that has to happen. Praise the Lord. Restoration has to happen. Actually, before we go to Matthew 17:11, Let's look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. Acts 3:21. Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being received into the heavens. It says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of what? Restitution. That's another word for restoration. The restitution, and that word restitution, amazingly, captures the two words that the Lord gave to us. What are those two words? Restoration and what? Restructuring. Restitution carries both. To reinstitute, restore, and restructure of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So God has been speaking restoration since the world began. And the heavens must receive Jesus Christ until the times of the restoration or reinstitution of all things. That's incredible. What ultimately does God want to see reinstituted? He wants to see men have the opportunity to make a decision one way or the other, not forced by deception, but by free will, make the decision to choose God in their lives. And it's imperative that we take the gospel to them. And every day, we must do that. Every month, for the last 2+ years, we've had what we'll call crusades in different points, preaching the gospel from right here. We've reached millions of people. When I say millions of people, I'm not exaggerating. The last 2+ years, preaching this gospel. We didn't go anywhere. But God is speaking to us that it's time now for us to start going out. Not just using the medium that we have. And even that, he told us, was going to be a fundamental way that we're going to preach the gospel in the days to come. That was before you could, you know, in the very early days of the internet, when there were no videos, when you couldn't put a script like that. Look at that. We can put that on the screen. That was like an impossibility. In fact, do you want to know the truth? I never thought that you could print anything on an 8 by 10 or 11 sheet of paper outside of a typewriter. Because at that time, if you want to write whom, it would take a big sheet and the printer would be going, and you'd be watching it. That's when God told me to go buy video cameras. because the gospel was going to be preached through the internet. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Get cameras. So we had a banquet at the Fort Garry Hotel. It was, were you guys here at the time? Yeah. With Willard Thiessen. Praise the Lord. And that's how we got the very first cameras. But before we got those cameras, Vidion Cable used to bring their people here, and then they got tired of bringing their people. They just gave us their equipment, and we were taping right here. My God. Do you remember the faithfulness of God? When they canceled everybody else's program on Vidion, they kept our program going on for a whole year. They canceled everybody. Everybody. It didn't matter who the person was. They canceled everybody. Calvary Temple, everybody. Everybody was canceled. And what did we have on television, on Vidion? If you saw... If you saw the production that came from here, you would say, how on earth did that get on television? Because you get whiplash. We had amateurs working the cameras, and the pictures would be bouncing all over the place. Oh, my Lord. But the word was still the same. And unbelievers, most of them, decided to keep our program for a whole year. Hallelujah. Didn't matter. And when I didn't know Vidion was going off, that's when God told me, you better get on television by September, or else I'm going to have to look for somebody else. So those first cameras in the office, with garage lights, we knew nothing. We knew zilch about television. We had camera, and it went through Miracle Channel. Miracle Channel was carrying us at that time. They opened up for us. I told them my story. I said, I better get on television because God says he's going to have to look for somebody else. I said, don't worry, let's do what we can. And so when they saw the first set of pictures, my goodness, it was almost like all you could see was my white teeth and mama's white teeth. The picture was so dark, but they just passed it. They said, but you better get lights. I said, what kind of lights? I have garage lights already. They said, that's not going to cut it, man. So we bought lights. Oh, what year was that? I don't remember now. About 20 years ago, something like that. Wow. Amazing. Look at where God brought us from. Yeah, Mama said we still need lights. Amen. Praise God. And she's right. Hallelujah. God is going to bring about the restitution of all things. Amen. Now, let us cap it tonight by going to the passage in Matthew 17:11. Jesus is speaking. It says, and the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and do what? Restore all things. The spirit of Elias shall first come. And what is the spirit of Elias going to come first to do? Restore, the book of Malachi says, restore families. Praise the Lord. Is that not where we started from today? It's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the sons to the fathers. Malachi. Tonight, let us pray for that. I remember one of the things the Lord said to me the other day. He said, don't forget to tell the people there's a year for the children. Because there cannot be true restoration when the children are not in the camp. Everybody must come through. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So I'm going to close by going to that passage in Malachi, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to have Mama come and lead us in prayer. The book of Malachi. The Bible says in Malachi 4 and 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God wants families restored. Amen? I'm going to ask Mama to come and pray with us tonight. And as she prays, I want you to receive your miracle. Receive what God has for you. Your life must be restored. It may have been shattered by alcohol, by drugs, by immorality of one sort or the other. But God is still faithful, and he says, I can fix you. I can restore your life. I can bring back and cause you to gain back all the years that you've lost. Not a day of your life is lost. So don't bury your head in the sand and think, I'm done for, I will never make it. I can take people out of the pit and land them up in the prime minister's office. I am God. I'm not a man. I will carry you if I have to. But one thing is certain, restoration. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the theme tonight is what?
Restoration.
And God say he will restore. He just needs somebody to say it. So are there people who are going to say restore?
Amen.
So he's willing to restore everything. Let's put that Isaiah 42, I think 42:22. Let's put that back up. Praise the Lord. Put it up. I think it's Isaiah 42:22. Put it back up for me, please. Or I should be opening mine. Isaiah 42:22. Let's read it together, and then I'm going to get us to pray. Say, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. Who still wants somebody to rob them and spoil them? No more. They are all of them snared in holes. Not just some. If you allow robbery and you allow things to be spoiled, in your vineyard, in your family, in your business, in any of your things, he said you'll be in holes. We are coming out of the holes. Say amen. Say they are hid in prison houses. You know, the Bible actually says there are in Ezekiel, it says there are women who will capture souls and put them in little pillows and put them in their armpit in handkerchiefs. None of your family will be in that position ever again. You'll be restored back. Your soul, your mind, every part of you will be restored. Read with me. Say they are what? Hid in prison houses. Wherever the captivity is, it shall never be anymore. They'll be restored out of it. They are for a prey. None of your family member, and including yourself, shall ever be a prey. In the name of Jesus. A non-deliverate, where we have a deliverer, his name is called Jesus, for a spoil. So you will not. You are going to collect spoil. You know another word for spoil is what? Collecting goodies. But you're not going to have spoilage. So you turn that word around. You're going to be collecting goodies. Somebody say, I'm collecting goodies. Don't just, this year, don't just talk and shoot your mouth anyhow. Mean business. And none say it what? How hard can that be? It didn't tell you to say a lot of things. It just say one word. What one word? You cannot be tired in prayer that you can't say restore. Restore everything. Anything that is spoiled, restore back to normal. Yes. So only you know what is spoiled around you. Only you know what captivity, you know, like Papa, our spiritual Papa used to say what? Take off the mask. Whatever behind that mask, you know what it is. But you're not going to be putting on mask, you're going to put on Holy Ghost. You're going to put on glory, amen? So you're going to speak restore. So when I say restore, you know what it is. So you say restore to that thing for yourself. So each time I say restore, picture, I'll give you a moment to think of, just ask the Holy Spirit. You know, he's quick. He's a quickening spirit. He will flash so many things in your mind. Amen? So you just keep saying what? Restore. All right? Restore. 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 Everybody stand with me. Restore. 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 Somebody saying, I don't know what to say restore. Well, are you in your 100% capacity, perfect health? If you are not, then you say perfect health. See yourself the healthiest. Amen? When God made you, God did not make you sick. Something came to spoil. So you are going to say what? You see, they were not restored because they could not say the word. Oh, I about to pray first. Say, Lord, anoint my mouth to be able to speak the word restore. And put your hand on your mouth. Say, Lord, anoint my mouth to be able to speak the word restore. Say amen. In Jesus' name, restore. 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 Amen. All right, so your health, say restore. I really don't want to list anything to you because you know. Because if we keep on listing for you, then we are babysitting grown-up people. There are no babies in this ministry except you got saved just 3 months. If you are more than 3 months, you'll be eating meat. Hallelujah. You have to be aggressive. I've always used that word, be aggressive. I just see, this year, take care of yourself. Say amen. Say, I'm going to take care of myself. Yeah, you got to mean business. Because let me tell you, some few people are dropping dead so fast. You're not going to be part of that. Yeah, the year, what is today's date? It's only 8. They're just dropping like flies. That's not going to be your portion. So you're going to restore 100% health. Amen. Amen? Say, restore 100% health. Restore 100% health. Restore 100% wealth. Well, God did not give birth to any one of us to live in poverty and lack and problems. Something spoils something. You have a destiny, and part of that destiny, God made us complete. The Bible says we are complete in Jesus. So we're going to say restore. There is a package that came with us, but that package is not working. It must work. And God said, just say one word. Restore! 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 Yes. You know there are inheritances from God. Yes, the one from our biological family is good and earthly people is good. But there are things God is your number one parent. Amen? He's Abba Father. There are things he has designed for us. You must have it. I must have what belongs to me. Amen. I'm going to even be more aggressive with the word restore. Amen. I've been doing it, but it's going to be even more. Because I've told you many times, you know, it was a mystery to me. Each way I go, I would just see somebody would just come, take a liking to me right away, and be a blessing to me. I don't know them. But I was saying, you know what? I started questioning, why is this happening? I should not question. After a while, I saw that, oh, if it doesn't happen, then I'm surprised. But it always happened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why, you know, I stood in this altar. I said, please do not bring junk to me because it's going to bring a problem to you. So better don't give me anything than bring junk. Because I told God, I don't want junk. I don't like junk. You give me junk, I don't keep them. I normally throw it away right away as you send it into the garbage. So please save your junk. Somebody tell the devil, save your junk. Oh, you see, you couldn't say it. God did not create junk for you. Who is your father? What you accept will always come to you. I do not accept junk. Praise the Lord. Can you say restore now? Restore! So what did you just say restore for now? The best. I just told you no junk. So what should be the opposite? Should I give you one more opportunity? Restore! Restore! What are you saying? You're saying it for yourself. And you're saying it to the earth. You're saying it. Your sound is going all over to the ends of the earth. And what is best is coming to you. Amen. Say restore! See, that's why I told you, never look at any man, look at God. Once your eyes are on man, God will leave you at man level. You have Abba Father. It's either your father or it's not. My earthly father was a giver, not a wicked person. He did a lot for a lot of people. How much more, Heavenly Father? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can we say restore again?
Restore!
Restore! So the restore we're going to say now is that we will see God for who he says he is in my life and in your life. Can you pray that? So never compare him to any man or anybody because they all disappoint. Only God never fails. So we're going to say God to restore who he is in our life, in my life. So let's say the word again. Restore! 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 Yes, he says he will restore if somebody's saying it. Now, if I will just say one more. I have so many things written here, but I'm not going to do listing for you. You have plenty of time to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even before we came here today, I was saying, Lord, restore my strength. We've been going from early morning till there was no time to break. I just quickly, you like my babushka? I just put the babushka on and start coming. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He just getting here. I was saying, oh, Lord, maybe I should be home. This is actually my sleep time. I sleep now and then I wake up when you guys are sleeping. So praise the Lord. I said, God, restore my strength. I had to do that. Can you ask God to restore your strength? Restore! So that means every part of your body that is weak, from your mind to your soul to your physical body, every part, even your spirit and the way you think, let God restore that. Can we say the word now? Restore! 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 Hallelujah. I'll tell you the image and the picture I saw just now. It's like this. If you have clear water and you put a drop of blue ink or dye into it, what's the color of that water? The color of that dye. If it's blue, if we put purple dye, it's what? If we put green, how long does it take for it to change? You mean you have to wait for the next 20 years before you see the change? How long? So what are you saying to everything you're saying restore now? Why don't you believe the change has taken place immediately? So let us pray the word restore again to immediate change. Are you ready? Restore! 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 You know why you use your loud voice? When you speak it, they obey you. When you don't speak it, they don't respond to you. So you want to speak another restore? That when you speak, what you're saying is responding immediately. How long does it take that color to change again? Clear water, you put any dye color on it, it takes that. So whatever your situation is, as soon as you speak to it, it is taking the shape of what you said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So can you say restore one more time? Restore! Hallelujah. Let's do it for our finance. That this year, we're going to have more money in our pocket than we ever had. How long does the color change again? So you're going to do it. I'm doing it for myself. So you can play if you want. So, finance, say the word, restore! I want to stop there. I can keep you going to money here. So, you got the picture. Remember, if you got the picture, take that picture home. Clear water, any dye color, right? That's the word. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, let's put that, let's look from verse 8 up. Let's read that, and then I'll just say a prayer, and then Apostle will come and close up. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. Let's continue. 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returned thither, but watered the earth, and made it to bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Are there sower and bread eater here? He said, they will give seed, they will give both. Hallelujah. So you will always have seed to sow. You will always have bread to eat. Next one. So what? This is what I want you to get, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So what did I say? See your what? I didn't make up words. That's God. You are made in his image and likeness. As he does, so you do. Amen? So when you have said it, it has gone forth. And I said, how long does it take for that clear water and dye to change? So that's God. God said, when it goes, it must do what I say. So when it comes out of your mouth, when it comes out of my mouth, it does what I tell you to do. So can you say restore now? Restore! I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word that you have given us the command to say restore. We will not be tired of saying this word. Every single area of our lives, spirit, soul, body, and mind, substance, every one of them, we say restore. Restore for our family, restore for our health, restore for our finance, restore for our spiritual inheritance, for our biological family, we restoration for every area, for wealth, for health, for influence, for status, for everything that you have designed for us. We say restore, not longer, but immediately. That word has gone out of our mouth. We're going to say it corporately. We say, restore! And so shall we expect what we have spoken. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for mega testimonies of what you have done for us. Amen. Amen. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Well, on our website, there's a spot where you can go and you can type in a testimony. Let somebody know what God has done for you, what these services have meant to you. Just go in there and engage. Amen? Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. These are special meetings. We're going to have guest speakers coming in, and we need to sow into their lives. So I encourage everyone to give generously. We're going to have a speaker that's going to speak to us from London, England. We're going to have one that is, I believe, is from Zimbabwe. We're going to have one from Ghana. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have one from the USA. Some of them you may have heard before. Some you may have not. But we want to be able to seed something into their lives. This something. Let us be generous with our giving this week. Amen? And when you give in this week, just mark it out, special meetings, if you can. If you didn't do that today, do that in the days to come. Just special meetings. That'll make things easier. Amen? Praise God. Mama's prayed for us. Did you receive that? Well, we're going to go forth in the strength of the Lord. You will not know, you don't know what's going to happen day after day. That's why I say, be here. Make the sacrifice. Tonight's service is not going to be like tomorrow's. Neither is it going to be like Wednesday's or Thursday or Friday. Or Saturday, which is the last night. You never know what the Lord is going to ask us to do. So please be engaged, even before you come. Be engaged in the realm of the Spirit so that you can experience and have everything God has ordained for you to have. Don't miss it this year. Amen? And finally, please continue to pray for the meetings that we're going to have, one major meeting that we're going to have in March in a foreign country. We need about $20,000 for that particular meeting. We're doing it by faith. If God speaks to you to give very specifically to help us with that meeting, and that's a fraction of what is needed for that particular meeting, the 20,000 I'm asking for or budgeting for is to rent transportation to bring people from distant points, other cities, to come to the meetings so we can get as many people touched by the word of the Lord as possible. Amen? So whatever God speaks to you to do, just do it. And finally, remember the offering that the Lord has asked of us, very special offering. That offering can be part of helping in this mission project. You know, it's not either or. It can be part of it. God is asking for us to give a special offering of 2023, 1023, or 523. An order depends on you, what you feel like you should give. But when you're giving that particular offering, mark it as a special offering so that it can be separated accordingly. Amen? Thank God for families that have already responded. One family has already responded with two of the 2023s. How many of you know God will bless them? One family with 1023. I've not brought mine yet, but I'm bringing it. We're going to bring ours as a family. Hear God. Don't say, I don't have it. If you look, God will show you where it is. You may not be able to bring it all in one bulk this week. If it takes you the rest of the month to bring it, just mark it out that I'm obeying God's calling in this regard. Amen? Rise with me. Lord, we cannot give too much. We cannot hear too much. We respond to your directives, and we thank you for total restoration. For whatever it is that we give, pales in amount to what you are bringing back to us. Just like the farmer sows one corn, just a seed, and he gets a harvest of cobs. Sows one seed of apple, and before he knows it, he has an orchard. Father, we thank you that you are taking our little and exponentially blowing it up to grant to us not just what we need, but beyond what we need, so that we can become distributors of your blessings. We thank you for all of your goodness. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you richly. See you tomorrow evening at 6:30. Good night.